The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? Whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor's the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him, and they went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Whose head is this, and whose title? Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. In two sentences, not only does Jesus brilliantly destroy and evade the Pharisees' trap for him, but he proclaims a profound truth on the nature of humanity and indeed all of creation. For you see, he ties ownership to that which has the image of and the name of the owner. So any good Pharisee back in Jesus' time, and you and I today, should quickly see that because we are made in the image of God, and because all of creation was created in the power or name of God, that all that we are and everything that surrounds us belongs to God. There is a term in the church that unfortunately is misunderstood and boiled down to a root or rude meaning. And that word is stewardship. Our best understanding of it sometimes in the church is that we are to give our time, our talent, and our treasure to the church. And that's the best understanding. Unfortunately, it often gets rudely thrown around as, "Oh, it's time to give money to the church." But here's the deal. Stewardship, simply as a defined word, means the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care, something that is not yours, but is entrusted to you. So given Jesus' understanding of ownership, we come to realize, we see that all of our life, everything we are, and everything around us belongs to God, and so therefore, we are to honor it and to steward it wisely. Because it is not ours, it is God's. All right, so why? Why do this? Why treat stewardship as this all-encompassing, all-consuming event? Well, our world is full of distractions, full of addictions and contradictions and false idols. And we become disconnected, we become disintegrated from who we truly are and whose we truly are. And so when we steward what has been given to us, it's not simply a returning to God, but it is a reconnecting, a reintegrating. And just like when you plug something into an electric socket, we become alive. It is the full life, the integrated life, the connected life that Jesus invites us to. In fact, this is the meaning of the word religion. It comes from the root word religare, which means to rebind. It is the same root word we get the word ligament from. So religion is meant to reconnect us, to rebind us to the living God so that we too are fully alive. And this is the best life. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen Gospel of Prosperity, We may have things, we may not have things, but it is still the best life possible. Jesus called this the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God life is one that is marked by grace, hope, faith, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and joy. And so God wants all of those aspects in every part of our life, in our mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, social, and financial lives. Okay, so if God wants this integration, this wholeness, this best life for every part of us, then how do we do it? First off, grace, God's grace, cannot be earned. It is a free gift that is always around us. But although it cannot be earned, it certainly can be engaged and participated in. It can be practiced. And what we practice at, we can become good at, experts even. And so we engage God's grace to allow God to transform us through what is called the spiritual disciplines. It is through the spiritual disciplines that we dive deep into God's richness, to God's grace. Now, the spiritual disciplines, some people are going to claim that they are old-fashioned. I'm going to argue that they're ancient. They've been done for millennia. For thousands and thousands of years, people, Jesus included, have participated, have practiced these behaviors to connect themselves with the living God. And so we are going to provide, offer, and engage in some conversations and classes starting in January regarding the spiritual disciplines. But for now, I'm just going to give you a short list. This is by no means definitive, but some of these are foundational. We practice solitude and silence because we live in a world that is noisy, crowded, and busy. So the actual intention of getting away from that sound, getting back into nature, getting into a room and turning off the TV and the radio and simply listening to the nature around us and just not talking creates a space to hear the God that is always around us. We practice prayer and meditation to quiet that voice in our heads that is constantly chatting at us, telling us we should have done this, we should have done that, we shouldn't have done this, we should have done that. That voice can be stilled. It can even be put away for periods of time by practicing deep breathing and being still. To counter that negative narrative, we practice something called scripture memorization, which is under the umbrella of Bible study, but when we memorize scripture, when we do get caught in that negative chatter, we can give ourselves another narrative, the true narrative of who we are and whose we are, and that we are beloved children of grace. We practice praise and worship, both individually, personally, and communally, because it is an intentional time to just bask in that grace together through movement, through music, through scripture. We practice service, giving to the least of those of God's children, because oftentimes when we give, we get so much more in return. And we practice fasting, or going without food for short periods of time, because we learn that we are more than what we eat. We are more than our primal urges. And so when it comes to our finances, we practice what is called intentional proportional giving. And we do this to remind ourselves that we are not the things we buy, no matter how hard modern advertisement wants to tell us. We are not our insecurities, and we are not our instant gratification. We do not allow the world to tell us who we are and whose we are. So intentional proportional giving is that act of, through prayer and discernment, we choose to give back to God, to reconnect with God, a portion of our income. That which we receive, we return to God to proclaim that we are God's, or we are God's people. Now, the tithe is probably something you've heard of before. The tithe is the traditional method of the church members giving 10% back to the church as a spiritual discipline. Now, it is a good practice in that it engages what you receive and a proportion of what you give back. The challenge is that for some of us, it is so far beyond our capacity that we don't try. And for some of us, it's so easy, we can say one and done. But intentional proportional giving asks each and every one of us, and we're all capable of this, to pray, to discern, and ask ourselves, where is that edge that God is calling us to in our finances so that we know that we are God's people, and not what the world tells us we should be. So for some of us with limited or fixed income, this may be between 1 and 5% of what our income is. For some of us with middle class means, we could possibly get up to 5 or 10% of our income, returning it to God. And for those of us who are blessed with substantial means, well, we should go beyond to 15, to 20, 25%. I heard a sermon once of a priest who challenged his congregation to continue to intentionally and proportionally give, to seek that edge. And this one family took that on seriously. And over the course of several years, they wound up getting to the point where they were giving back to the church 90% of their salary. Now, the family's last name was Colgate. So we laugh, but it gives you a sense of who they were and what their capacity was. But for them to simply stop at 10% is not where God was asking them to be. All right, so now that I've given you that broad brushstroke, there are two exceptions. First off, this is about intentionally giving back a portion of what you receive. So if you are unemployed or you find yourself unemployed, then this is not a practice you can engage in. You can make a pledge, but you're off the hook, so to say, if you actually don't have an income. And the second exception is if you are struggling with credit card debt, then we want you to take the same principles of giving to God, but taking that and getting out of that credit card debt. Because credit card debt is probably the clearest manifestation of our corporate or communal addiction to having what we want when we want it right now. So those are the two sort of get out of free jail cards for now. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So I know this may sound scary, but if you ask anyone who has given intentionally and proportionally for a period of time, you will meet someone who knows great freedom and can speak viscerally of St. Paul's words, "With Christ, all things are possible." An old priest friend of mine years ago would say to me occasionally, "The only thing Jesus wants is everything you've got." So when we give our lives to God, all of our lives, every part, we discover we get so much more life in return. We get the life of hope, faith, joy, love, peace, wholeness, the life we were born to live, because it's not just our life, it's God's. Amen.